Thank you, Winslow. It's always good to have our children and youth to help lead in our worship, isn't it? And we appreciate that very much. Good job. As we worship God together this morning, I invite you to join us in our gathering hymn, number 346, Majesty. Stand together. Be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God this morning here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're delighted that you're here. I know we have some folks who are not able to be here for one reason or another this morning, but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad for those who are joining us on the internet or by our radio broadcast. We thank you for being part of our worship today and pray it'll be a blessing to you as we worship God together. And if you are looking for a church home, we'd love to have you come worship with us in person here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And we do welcome guests in our service today here in the sanctuary as well. Now, there are a number of things that I need to mention to you. Of course, this is Thanksgiving week, and we will have the community Thanksgiving service this evening at 5 o'clock at First Baptist Murfreesboro. I encourage you to be a part of that service and to share with our community as we give thanks to God. Pastor Sandy Outlaw of New Vision Ministries will be preaching for that service. Because of the Thanksgiving service, we will not have youth group this evening. And then Wednesday evening, due to the Thanksgiving holiday, we will not have any Wednesday activities this week as well, because we know many will be either getting ready for Thanksgiving or traveling. We want to say thanks to those who filled Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes. We collected 46 boxes, and we appreciate each one who contributed to that. Now, we have a number of other things that are going on as well. The White Christmas food box donations, there's an announcement in the bulletin that has all the details about that, so please take note of that. Our angel tree is in the foyer by the elevator, and we have 15 names. Have they all been taken yet, Judy? There's still three left, so if you'd like to get one of those and help out with that, we'd encourage that. The gifts should be returned by December 18th. I think the bulletin may say the 15th, but it's the 18th, so that will be that Wednesday. So please give generously with that and help out with that if you can. Now, we have resumed live streaming our services, but instead of doing it on Facebook, we're doing it on YouTube. And then, of course, if you want to watch the service later, you can also go back and watch it there. The instructions about that are in the bulletin, and so I encourage you to take note of that. Now, this Saturday, the 30th, from 2 until 5, we will decorate our sanctuary with our hanging of the greens, and hope that you'll be able to come and help with that as well. Then our Christmas cantata is going to be on Sunday, December 15th at 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Our choir will be joined by the Middle Swamp Baptist Church Choir, And the cantata is Love Came Down at Christmas. And then there'll be light refreshments provided afterwards. And I hope that you'll make it a priority to be here for that musical time of worship as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. Now, today's flowers are given by Gertrude Revel in honor of her pastor and his wife. And Gertrude, Joanne, and I appreciate that very greatly. That's very sweet of you to do that. Thank you. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 93, and I invite you to join in the reading. It's printed in your order of worship. If you'll join in on the bold print, and it does continue to the next page. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters. More majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let's pray. O Lord, our King, you are indeed our God, robed in majesty and glory and strength. You are from everlasting to everlasting, and your decrees are sure and certain. As we come before you now to worship, Lord, may we come in awe and wonder that you, the Creator and Lord of the universe, love us and care for us. May we glorify your name together, and may your church be built up in love. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn is number 158, Jesus Shall Reign, 158.
Thank you.
Let's have the children come for the children's sermon now. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, and then verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. And then in verse 13, as I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37, as Jesus is standing before the Roman governor Pilate. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name. This morning, as we come to our prayer time, we have many more requests than what we usually do, but let me share these. Francis Cole's cousin Al had aneurysm surgery, and we've been asked to pray for him. Lance Eubank, we've been asked to continue to pray for his ongoing cancer treatment. Genevieve Broadhead is in the hospital at Roanoke Rapids. Ruth Daniel has been taken to the emergency room at Obese Hospital this morning. We had asked you to pray for Joanne's brother, Fletcher. He was able to have his surgery this week, and things went smoothly, and we're very, very grateful for that. T.W. Hill is at home right now, but he'll be going back to UNC Hospital tomorrow and will be there through Wednesday for treatment. I've also been asked to pray for Randy Copeland and Cindy, for Gary Brett, Faye Jenkins, Bonnie Jenkins, Sherry Cook, also the family of Catherine Daniel Baxter, who's a cousin of Booker, and John Page and Jay Revel, and then the service is today in Burlington. We've also been asked to pray for Alan Revel Sr., who has significant health concerns, and Richard Warren, that's TK's cousin, who is still in rehab in Jefferson City, Tennessee. So we need to remember all of these folks, and I'm sure there are others who are on our hearts and minds as well. So let's join together in prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, you love us in such a way that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring your kingdom in the world. And after he lived a perfect life and given himself on the cross for us that we might be saved, you raised him from the dead and gave him all authority in heaven and on earth, exalting him to the highest place and giving him the name above every name. We praise you that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you have saved us through him. In this season of thanksgiving, Father, we come to offer thanks to you for all the spiritual and material blessings that you've lavished on us. We thank you for providing for us throughout the year, for watching over us and keeping us, for making us a part of this local expression of the body of Christ known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We thank you, Lord, for family, and for family of faith, and for the blessings we enjoy as your people. Your word teaches us, Lord, to make our requests known to you along with our thanksgivings. And so we pray that you would hear us now as we offer our prayers and petitions to you. We pray, Lord, for the work of your kingdom throughout the world, and for your church throughout the world, and in this place. We pray, Father, that you would move, that your Spirit would move to spread your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would stir interest in the hearts of those who do not yet know you, that you would open their hearts, that they might come to know you. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen our missionaries wherever they are serving, and that you would help us to be on mission right here where we are, Lord, to bear a winsome witness to others who don't know you, so that they might come to trust in Christ and to follow him as a part of your church. Father, we pray for those who are persecuted and ask your help for them. Lord, we pray for our country, for our state and our town. We pray for our current leaders and our newly elected leaders and ask that you would help them always to govern in justice and righteousness. Father, we pray for those who continue to suffer in the devastation brought by the disasters at home and abroad, whether natural disasters or wars or mass shootings, whatever the case may be. Lord, that in each situation you would give help and comfort and strength. We pray, Lord, for the sick. Our list is long today, Lord. We ask your help for each of these that we have mentioned and for those that we have not mentioned aloud but that are on our hearts and minds. Lord, we ask you would bless them in a special way, that you would help those who are recovering from surgery, that you'd give grace to those who are undergoing treatment, that you would give endurance to those who are going through chronic illness. And Father, that you would bless each one according to their needs and according to your gracious will. We pray, Lord, for those who grieve and ask your comfort for them. We ask your blessings on our children and our young people and their parents and their teachers and those who guide them. And Father, we pray for those who, though they may know you, they have wandered away and are backslidden. We ask that, Lord, you would touch their hearts, that you would warm them once again, that you would draw them back into fellowship with you and with your church. Lord, there are many other things on our hearts and minds now as we pray, but we lift them all to you in the strong name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's King of kings and Lord of lords, and who lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit as one God now and forever. So hear us as we offer these prayers together with one voice in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 372, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. us pray. Lord, as we come to offer our gifts to you in worship, remind us that they are an expression of our gratitude for all you have done for us and give it to us. May we, with glad and generous hearts, remembering the gracious generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might have life in him, give our gifts. Thank you, Father. In this season of thanksgiving, we especially pause to remember all your blessings. And we offer our prayer now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And Mary Welch, thank you for playing our offertory this morning. Appreciate it very much. Our text this morning will come from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and then chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, and we'll read there in just a few moments. From ancient times, there have been kings. And when God brought the Israelites out of their bondage in Egypt, He was their king. And that's how He intended for it to be. He ruled through prophets and priests and judges, but after Samuel, the prophet, who was also judge and also served in a priestly role in some ways, when it was coming toward the end of his time of leadership, the people came to him and said, "We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king we can see and who can lead us. We want to be like the other nations." And God granted their request, but with a condition and a warning. The condition was that the king was to rule as his agent, his viceroy, so to speak. It was to be remembered that God was ultimately their king. The warning was that earthly kings had a tendency to become corrupt. And when they became corrupt, they took advantage of the people and they put unreasonable demands on them and they practiced injustice and didn't rule justly over the people. Now, a few of the kings of Israel ruled as God intended. Most of them didn't. And so the time came when God promised them that He would send a perfect king who would rule in righteousness and justice and mercy and grace. He was promising them a Messiah. And that perfect king is Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the Christian calendar, today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And today, as we focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is King, despite what the skeptics and the circumstances may say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God's true King over all, King of kings and Lord of lords. The text we're going to look at today in Revelation 1 and Revelation 22 tells us who Jesus is and what He has done and will do as King. And so listen now to the word of the Lord in Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8, and then 22, 12, and 13. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And on His account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And then in chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus says, "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Lord, Guide our thoughts as we look into your word. May we honor and glorify your name. May we submit to Jesus as King. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, by the time John wrote the book of Revelation, he was an old man, and he was in exile on the island of Patmos. It was a rocky island that was off the west coast of Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. It was a place where the Roman government sent problem people. Because you see, John was an influential Christian leader in that area. Most in the early church thought that the Apostle John was the one who wrote Revelation. There were a few who didn't, but most did. Well, in this passage, John tells us, or the passage that follows this passage, John tells us that he was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And while he was in exile there, he had a series of visions that he wrote down and gives us in the book of Revelation. But before he began to share what he had seen, he greeted the seven churches that were located in Asia Minor, which was the western half, or in the province of Asia, which was in the western half of Asia Minor. And he offered a doxology of praise to Jesus Christ, and he offered two declarations. The first by him about Jesus, the second by God about himself. And in what he said, along with Jesus' declarations about himself in chapter 22 that we just read, we find answers to three questions about our Lord. The first one, who is Jesus? John describes him several ways. He says he is the Messiah. The name Christ comes from the Greek word that translates the Hebrew word for Messiah. And Messiah means anointed one. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're not using his first and last name. We're using his name and his title, Jesus the Messiah, God's anointed one. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is the Messiah? It's to say that he is that perfect king from David's line that God had promised the Jews and that they were looking for, the one who would come and set things right and rule in righteousness. Now, there were various expectations among the Jews, but the prevailing one was that they were looking for a king who would come and set them free from Roman domination and would restore the kingdom of Israel to its previous glories. He would be a political deliverer. Well, Jesus made it clear to Pilate that his kingdom was not from this world. God's intention for his Messiah was much greater than restoring an earthly kingdom of Israel. God sent him to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God here on earth. To redeem a people for himself, not just from the Jews, but from all the peoples of the earth. And eventually to bring this kingdom in its fullness in the new creation. The new heavens. And the new earth. And that explains the tension that we see throughout the book of Revelation. The attempt of the political and pagan religious powers of this present evil age to force submission to them, while Jesus calls his followers to be faithful to him even to the point of death. And he has the right to make that claim. Because he is God's anointed king. Now, the Son of God became human in his incarnation when he came as Jesus the Messiah. But John also shows his connection with God as a member of the Holy Trinity. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, he is the source of grace and peace. And John doesn't explicitly state it, but his description of God as him who is and who was and who is to come, in verse 4, that implies God the Father. His description of the seven spirits before his throne implies the Holy Spirit in all his fullness, because in apocalyptic literature, which Revelation is, symbols and numbers have significant meaning. And seven represents fullness and perfection, So the seven spirits who are before the throne represent the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And John goes on to describe Jesus as the faithful witness. Remember that the Romans had put John on the Isle of Patmos, and so the time frame here is likely the persecution in the mid-90s of the first century A.D. Emperor Domitian had revived emperor worship. He wanted people to worship him as a god. But Christians couldn't do that and be faithful to Jesus. And so he began to persecute them. So in that day, to be a faithful witness to Jesus might cost one's life. And it's interesting that the Greek word for witness is martyr. Martyr. Jesus had already been the faithful witness, and it cost him his life. Jesus died, but he rose from the dead, and so John also describes him as the firstborn of the dead in verse 5. And to say that he's the firstborn implies that there will be others. Indeed, Jesus told his disciples the night before his death that because he lives, they and we would live also. And as the one who died but lives again, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. The emperors, kings, dictators, presidents, and prime ministers of this world make their claims, they exert their worldly power, but John affirms that ultimately Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he asserts this claim again in Revelation 11:15, where when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, there are loud voices in heaven proclaiming, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." You see, it may look like the kings of the earth are ruling and having their way, but those who aren't in submission to Jesus are in rebellion against him. And their exploitation and greed and injustice are destroying the earth and its inhabitants. God restrains himself to allow the opportunity for repentance and submission to him. But the time will come when he will exert his power in judgment, and he will set all things right in the new heavens and the new earth. As John describes in his vision of the return of Jesus Christ in chapter 19, Jesus is riding a white horse, leading the armies of heaven to battle against the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies who had gathered to make war against the Messiah and his army. And as he rides, there is a name that is written on his robe that says, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Indeed, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, John not only tells us who Jesus is, he tells us what he has done. And he begins with something that Jesus has done and that he continues to do. He loves us. He loves us. His love is not a selfish love. It's not a love that arises from who we are or what we've done. He loves us because of who he is and what he's like. And he loves us for our good. And he always acts toward us in loving ways. And he always seeks our best interests. And he's shown that love in many ways. But the most amazing way that he has shown it to us is when he died for us on a cross, in order to free us from our sins by his blood, as John puts it in verse 5. In his book, The Good and Beautiful God, James Bryan Smith tells how the author and Speaker Brennan Manning got the name Brennan. As he and his best friend Ray grew up, they did everything together. They bought a car together. They double dated together. They went to school together. They enlisted in the Army together. They went to boot camp together. And they fought on the front lines together. And one night they were in a foxhole. And Ray was eating a candy bar as he listened to Brennan reminiscing about the old days. And then a live grenade fell into their foxhole. Ray looked at Brennan, smiled, dropped his candy bar, and dove onto the grenade. Of course, he was killed, but Brennan was saved. Brennan later became a priest, and in that process, he was instructed to take on the name of a saint. And as he was trying to choose a name, he thought of his friend, Ray Brennan. And he took on the name Brennan. Years later, Brennan was visiting Ray's mother. And as they talked over a cup of tea, he asked her, "Do you think Ray loved me?" And she got up angry. And standing there in front of him, she shook her finger in his face and said, "What more could he have done for you?" Brennan said that at that moment he had an epiphany. And in his mind, he saw himself standing before the cross and Mary, the mother of Jesus, standing there, shaking her finger and pointing to Jesus, saying, "What more could he have done for you?" He loved us. And he gave himself for us to free us from our sins. But in addition to freeing us from our sins, he's made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. And just as God brought the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt and made them a priestly kingdom, so Jesus has freed us from our sins and he has made us priests to serve him, a kingdom of priests. What does John mean by that? Well, we're to live under the rule of our Messiah, King Jesus, in a different way than living in this world. We submit to him, even when it puts us in conflict with the world, even when it costs us, indeed, maybe even our earthly lives. But if we're faithful to him to the point of death, we'll also reign with him. As priests, we have access to God in prayer and direct fellowship with him. And we also have the responsibility to be priests to one another, interceding for and ministering to one another. And likewise, we come to God on behalf of those who don't know him. And we represent him to them through the ministry and witness so that they come to know him and share in his kingdom as his priests. And so he frees us from our sins, and he calls us to live under his rule as his priestly servants in the world. Well, John also points out to us what Jesus will do. First, he'll come. Jesus has promised that he will return. With his first coming, he came to save a people for himself through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to glory, to free us from our sins and make us a kingdom of priests. In him, God's kingdom came near and broke into this present evil age. When he returns in glory, he'll come to raise the dead and to judge the world in righteousness, dealing with the disbelieving and disobedient who've rejected him, and rewarding the faithful who have trusted him and lived out their faith in obedience. And in doing so, he will set things right as he redeems the creation itself in new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out one other thing from this text. In chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord God the Almighty says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." And as Sarah explained to the children about the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Well, in chapter 22, verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And as Winslow put it so well, it all starts and ends in him. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and everything else in between will make sense because of him. He identifies with God the Father, claiming his divinity, and he reminds us that it's all about him. We don't have to figure out everything in between to know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he will reign forever and ever. And then when it's all said and done, it will all make sense in who he is and what he's done. King Jesus is the faithful, risen, ruling Messiah who has redeemed us and will come again. And so to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us now to commit ourselves to you more fully than ever, to live our lives accordingly, submitting ourselves to him, seeking to be priests of God in this world, to share the good news with those who don't know you, and to minister to and care for one another as we walk this journey together. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 379, "Let All Things Now Living." And as we sing this together this morning, I encourage you to look into your heart, into your life, and ask yourself, am I living like Jesus is my King? Am I submitting myself to him completely? Am I seeking to do what he calls me to do? Is he my King? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King over all. But are we living accordingly? If not, would you deal with that this morning? If there's a commitment that you need to make, we invite you to come and share it this morning as we stand and sing number 379.
Thank you.
being with us this morning, and I do wish you all a happy Thanksgiving this week. And as you think about all that God has blessed you with and the ways that He has worked in your life and in our life together as a congregation, give thanks most of all for what He's done for us in Jesus Christ, His Son, our King. Let's pray together. We are grateful, Lord, for all your blessings. We are grateful that Jesus is our King. And as we go forth from this place today, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live as subjects of King Jesus. Help us, Father, to live our lives according to the fact that He is our King, that we might serve Him fully and faithfully each day. And now as you go to love God and to follow Jesus and to serve others, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.